Let's get it.
Hey, it's Chuck. We are not bemoaning the noon kickoff. We are now owning it. It's a badge of honor. We're the lunatic fringe that defines our coach's legacy when it comes to this game. They don't get to define that outside the family. Dude, we're cut from a different cloth for Ohioans. He's got it all, man. He's even got the jaw. You know the jaw? You see that jaw and you're just like, yeah, man, that's a dude. Do I want Michigan to beat Oklahoma? No way in hell. I don't know what world I'm living in. This is insane to me. And if you saw my outburst, I apologize. It's showtime now. And welcome to Junk on Bucks. Appreciate you so much for joining me on a Tuesday. You know, we came out of the weekend feeling great, propelled by the big Buckeyes win as Carlos May announces he's choosing Ohio State like a proper young man would. The number six ranked class in the country coming off of that decision from Big Los. And we are now just 1 week away from Big Ten Media Days, which is going to be a fun little distraction heading into the start of camp, which will start August 6th. And we can turn the page from all the recruiting excitement that we've been dealing with or enjoying, however you choose to view recruiting, but not quite yet, as of course we do got one more big one. But Carlos May pretty much wraps up that defensive class. And I absolutely love this defensive class. This week, the scheduling is going to be tomorrow, live show, 5 p.m. Then Thursday, I've got a guest joining me. And you guys have been asking for a guest once in a while. So there's not too many I like to do a show with, but I got one that I really like. I'm going to bring him on Thursday. And then Friday's show, we're going to go over the defensive side of the ball in this class of 2027. Since landing Carlos May, we'll go over those defensive grades, position group grades, individual player grades. And we're going to watch some film of several of those guys, just a little bit to reacquaint everybody with this excellent defensive haul. And for sure, you know, tomorrow we're going to be live at 5 for the David Gabriel George decision. And before we get into David Gabriel George, which is our topic today, that recruitment, I want to show you something that is going to warm your heart as I was bebopping around today and happened to run into this. Not that. This. This is the 2027 recruiter rankings. As you can see, they're at the top at number one. That is Larry Johnson of Ohio State, the defensive line coach. Then you got at number three, Tyler Bowen of Ohio State, the offensive line coach. Two of the top three recruiters of the cycle, Ohio State Buckeyes coaches. And this is a mathematical based on their point system. These aren't anybody's opinions. So looking at that feels awesome. And when we talk about assistant coaches in this new era, when it comes to things are very different. I think that we really kind of need to adjust. Every recruitment has its own unique circumstances and has its own nuance to it that you can't just look at the final score, right? You can't just look at the final, what did this guy bring in? There's his grade. Here's how he did. Because there are so many different variables, even from year to year at one particular school. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because I got some questions about how are we viewing Carlos Lachlan? Should he miss out on David Gabriel George? How are we viewing his system in the job that he's done since he's been at Ohio State as a recruiter? And I've got a lot of thoughts on that. But, you know, just very briefly, if that ends up happening and David Gabriel George goes to Tennessee, I'm not blaming Carlos Lachlan at all. Carlos Lachlan, of anybody on the Ohio State staff, did the best job here. He wasn't the one who solely set out and said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go all in on this guy, and that's it. We're turning everybody else away. We're backing out of some recruitments. Like, he was not the guy that set this up by himself. This was a program decision from the top. And that has to do with the people that are deciding where the money's going to go, because Ohio State didn't get into this without going over that conversation very much in detail about how much it was going to cost them to potentially bring into David Gabriel George, and all the other decisions flowed downhill of that. So Carlos Lachlan will be getting none of the blame, but I do want to have that conversation about assistant coaches in this era as it comes to recruiting. Too much of the blame, usually. Too much of the praise, usually. But there are some individual recruitments that they really shine, and others that it's a lot of, a lot of block O wins, a lot of money wins. And it's when those wins are done without that support that those are the really impressive wins. But, you know, everyone's different. So we'll talk about that. And today, I just kind of wanted to get into the David Gabriel George conversation as we are, you know, looking at this thing a day out. One of the biggest recruitments of my life as an Ohio State fan, certainly since I've started the show, and Ohio State fans are so into recruiting that my biggest live audience I've ever had here on the show was David Sanders. David Sanders announcing his commitment to Tennessee, still the biggest decision, biggest live show I've ever had here. And now tomorrow, we roll into David Gabriel George. Now, whatever happens with David Gabriel George, not going to affect the hay in the barn, so to speak. The hay in the barn in this particular class, this sixth rated class in the country at the moment, is fantastic. The best offensive and best defensive line combination in Ohio State history in the modern recruiting era, in my life anyway, that I can remember. Let's take a look at the blue chip ratios in this class for one. We'll start there today. I ran these numbers yesterday. You've got Notre Dame at number one with 81.8, 18 of 22 blue chippers. LSU, 81.3, 13 of 16. Miami, 80, 16 of 20. Ohio State, 78.9, 15 of 19. And then you got a drop down to the number one class in the country at Texas A&M, 73.1. Oregon, 66.7. Florida, 65.4. Texas, 63. Texas Tech, 52. And Oklahoma, a top 10 class, just 13 of 27 blue chippers. They do got a couple of five stars, a couple of defensive prospects I really like Crew Jones, who I really wanted. But nonetheless, you got a four-pack at the top of college football that is running the roster here with the blue chip ratio. Now, the blue chip ratio is not as important as it used to be, and not just because we saw Indiana win the national championship without a 50% blue chip roster, but you need non-blue chips now. You need those three-star guys, where before you could sign at Ohio State as many four and five stars as you wanted, and they had to sit there and wait their turn. Now you need guys that are willing to come in and be program guys and be those guys that are on the 3-4-5 year plan before they're playing. So in the past, where Ohio State may have brought in 20 out of 21 blue chip prospects, that same class, if they were taking it today, they would bring in those 20 out of 21, and then they'd take four more guys that would all be three stars. What's that do? It lowers your blue chip ratio, but you want those guys on the back end of your roster that are on that 3-4-5 year plan. So lower blue chip ratio, smarter roster building, right? Which means this doesn't mean as much as it used to. But the Buckeyes, as far as their top targets, they have been very, very good this year. They have had a narrow board, and they have nailed so many. And that includes, before we even get into David Gabriel George, a little celebration in the fact that the Buckeyes do have and did win the number one player in the country this year. So important to remember the big wins, important to remember the coup that Ohio State pulled off when it comes to DJ Jacobs, a very expensive coup, and the opponent in that one, a Tennessee-like opponent when it comes to spending in Miami. And expecting to win a lot of those in one cycle is, probably a bit much, but the truth is there's two very, very expensive guys on this in this class of 2027 and DJ Jacobs and Marcus Fakatuo. These are, two of the top 10 contracts that'll go out to players in this entire cycle, and Ohio State's got two of them. So, regarding the allegations of being cheap, certainly not. Definitely spending a lot of money on this class of 2027. But today, a little bit more about David Gabriel George, as we have seen now ever since the Ohio State official visit, where things were feeling pretty doggone good about Ohio State's chances here. Then was the Tennessee official visit. And everything after the Tennessee official visit has been slowly trending that direction. And I don't think we've really heard one piece of good news that would make us feel any different ever since that official visit. And that started, of course, with the original article from his uncle, Jean Aguinor, and Steve Wiltfong and Rivals, where the uncle essentially, I mean, to put it in a nutshell, said that, you know, being a big fish in a not so big pond at Tennessee is more enticing than being just another cog in the wheel at Ohio State. And it was all laid out there. The Tennessee fans will go crazy. He'll be a legend. Ohio State fans, they say they need him. They don't need him. He would just be another great player at Ohio State. But at Tennessee, they may not be good for the next 15 years, but the 3 years he's there, if they're good, he'll be, you know, a legend, et cetera. And you almost could have read it as he was letting Ohio State down easy. Some people did read it that way, but it was pretty clear after that, David wanted to put out, hey, these aren't my words. That's exactly what he said. When he said, I didn't say anything, like, you know, if you were wishful thinking, you could have said he was saying there when he said that, I don't endorse what my uncle's saying. But if it ends up going Tennessee's way, you know, obviously there's the money discussion, but it would seem to me like if it does go Tennessee's way, that does have a little bit to do with it for sure. You know, a lot of Ohio State fans have kind of discussed the crystal ball situation a lot, that none of these guys, even as they've been talking so much about this as trend in Tennessee, have changed their crystal ball picks or their RPMs to Tennessee. They're still on Ohio State, where they've been since before the Ohio State official or right around there. The reason for that is they don't ever want to have to change it back. They're okay with changing it, but they don't want to change it back. So they will wait until tomorrow or today and change those over to Tennessee now when they feel certain it's over, because changing it back looks really bad. Obviously, changing it right before they make a decision looks pretty pathetic, but changing it and then changing it back looks even worse. And that is what most of that's about. The truth is, most of these guys in the industry have been favoring Tennessee ever since that official visit to Tennessee, and that really hasn't changed. And no, Nike is not coming to the rescue here with some deal, despite the fact that they are now signing high school guys. I saw some hopes floating around for that one. That's not coming. And you can watch the episode we did the other day here explaining the situation with Ohio State, their Nike contract, and the Blue Ribbon Elite program that Nike is now running, where every single one of their Blue Ribbon Elite program members this year have a high school kid that got a Nike deal. And it sure would have helped Ohio State if they had restructured their deal prior to this David Gabriel George recruitment, but that didn't happen. But we went in depth on that one in that show. I forget the title of it, but you'll be able to tell the Nike and a D. I think I got the Nike symbol on the thumbnail last week's show, if you want to learn a little more about that. But as far as this recruitment, this is a running back I first pulled up on the show, watched his film. After his sophomore year, we were watching David Gabriel George's film here, and I've just been totally enamored with him. As a back, I love the player, man. And this is a no doubt about it football player, and that's plain as day. I also felt that it was a kid who really loved Ohio State. And when we look at this thing, the entire recruitment about, you know, winning or losing David Gabriel George, to me, was all an upside play. Like a case of winning this would be phenomenal. It would be a great addition to the team. It might even be something as special as Jeremiah at some point. Who knows? And the way Ohio State moved kind of let us know that they feel some similar Jeremiah vibes here with DGG. They feel that he is at least a similar once in a while prospect. This is not an every year guy. At minimum, we know they feel that way about him. We know they feel he was the best running back in at least the last two cycles. And getting these amazing type of guys into the program does a ton for the program. Having the best player in college football on your team does a ton for the program. and if you can win a national championship with the best player in college football, the amount of eyeballs and attention and profile raising does a ton for your program. The amount of things, the amount of money you can sell things like jersey patches for, like all of this, Jeremiah has equaled big bucks. Well, that's what I'm getting at here. Whatever you paid for Jeremiah for the first 2 years he was at Ohio State, now the third year he will be at Ohio State, will have been worth every penny and way more when he is gone. So when we talk about money and how much these type of guys command, if you capitalize, if you win that national championship with them on your roster, if they capitalize on their talent, it's absolutely worth it, but it's a huge gamble. You don't know if that's going to happen, so you got to be sure. It has always felt to me like Ohio State is pretty damn sure about DGG. But to me, this recruitment has always felt like a win, all upside play. If you lose, heck, there's still a couple avenues you could come out of this class feeling pretty good about running back. One for me certainly wouldn't be Jaden Miles, who you know, was feeling out a commitment at Ohio State during his official visit and then committed to Florida State the next day. I wouldn't feel great about that. I'd feel much better about Nigel Newkirk, but Nigel Newkirk was going to come up for an official visit. He went to Alabama the week before and took a $400,000 offer and locked his recruitment down right there. Now, you'd have some money available potentially to go get a running back. Nigel Newkirk isn't worth going over $400,000 for, though, especially not when you paid Bo Jackson $150,000 for his freshman year the year prior. You can get away with talking about market value when you're talking about a big dog that's going to come in that you think is going to show everybody what Jeremiah showed everybody, right? Which is why they feel comfortable going in big bucks for DGG, because they fully believe that he's going to come in and do what Jeremiah did, which is make everybody on the roster know immediately, oh, I get it. You can't say that about a lot of high school kids. They believe that bringing in the running back who squats 600 pounds, benches 400 pounds, runs a 4.38, and has an insane work ethic is going to show everybody on that roster real quick why you went to the ends of the earth to bring him in. You can't just say that about, you know, this guy's a top 10 back. It's not the way it works. But myself, I was feeling pretty confident about DGG for his official Ohio State visit, feeling like he was a Buckeye lean, knowing the Tennessee official visit was coming up. And the reason I was feeling so confident is the way Ohio State was moving. When we saw Ohio State put the guns back in the holster in the class of 2026, when they were after Savion Hyder, the number one back in the country, Michigan, Tennessee, Ohio State was right there. That was his top three. They were also in big on Derek Cooper out of Chaminade Madonna, Jeremiah's high school. He ended up going to Texas, but they put the guns back in the holster for both of those two guys. And they went ahead and took local favorite Key. And they said, you know what? We're going to sit on this and we'll go after our top target next year. And that was DGG. Now, of note, Tennessee also missed out on Savion Hyder, who they were going all in. Had they won that recruitment, we might be having a different discussion today. But favorite Key coming in the class of 2026 looked really good in the spring. And in addition to that, now they made this decision to put the guns back in the holster in 2026 before they had already offered him, but there was no movement at all with Legend Bay. And then a little bit later, they decided, why don't we go after this kid all in? And they did. So they go after Legend, they bring Legend in, and a lot of people thought immediately, there's no way this guy's ever going to be a three-down back. I'm here to tell you, man, the dude's as big as Travion. I've seen them both from me to this camera, and remember Travion pass blocking as a senior. It can happen. I absolutely think that could be in his future to be a three-down back. Now, you've probably seen the pictures of his upper body, how jacked he's looking. Definitely his lower body matches, and then some. This is not some DeMario McCall type of dude. Like, that's way off base. He can move, Mike. He can move better, but that is way off base. He is a stout dude. And he could definitely be a three-down back. So now you're looking at the class of 2026 with Favor Aquih and Legend Bay coming off the heels of a three running back class with Turbo Rogers, who was a top 10 back, and we don't know anything about him yet. We'll find out hopefully at some point this year. Bo Jackson and Isaiah West, who showed immediately that they are fit for Big Ten play and could potentially be a top, you know, top 3-4 duo in the league moving forward for the rest of their careers together. So that looks pretty doggone good. It looks pretty doggone good. And there are ways that you can come out of 2026 without it being DGG and having another really good looking back. And, you know, if you don't land DGG, that's something that we'll be talking about here for the next couple of weeks as to what direction they go. But we knew when Ohio State put their guns in the holster for 26, they were prepared to go all in for David Gabriel George, because if they weren't, they wouldn't have done it. Now, when we talk about David Gabriel George heading into this recruitment, Ohio State knew exactly what it was getting into when it was taking on Tennessee, because Tennessee, and we've talked about this on the show several times, when it comes to their top prospects, just last year with Faison Brandon, with TK Keys, that was at one point the number one wide receiver and one of the top three quarterbacks in the country. When they got their eyes on a top prospect, they go all in and they usually win because they're willing to sacrifice in their class elsewhere. I'll give you an example. And we talk about them with David Gabriel George this year. Let's take a look at, I showed you the blue chip rate for the best programs in the country right now. Taking a look at the programs that are prominent programs that are not looking so good in that department. And here's a couple of them. Georgia with less than a 50% blue chip ratio. Tennessee, 41%. Just 7 of 17 of their players. So 7 4-stars and 10 3-stars. That's not good. It's just not good. But they're willing to do that so long as they land their top guys. Now, let me ask you this. What would you be more mad about? Ohio State bringing home something like that? 7 of 17 blue chips, or missing out on David Gabriel George and having a top 5 class in the country with the best offensive and defensive line combined haul that you've ever seen? I would be way more mad if we were looking at that class and it had David Gabriel George. Like, you can keep him. I don't want that crap. Not at all. But that's Tennessee's philosophy, and they're in a different position. So whether or not that's wise for the position they're in college football or not, you know, you could be the judge, but they want things for their fans to get excited about. You know, when you're not great, like Ohio State is every year, year in and year out, superstar players can keep people engaged and keep people excited. It's a lot harder to build a competent year in and year out winning roster than it is to land a top tier dude every now and again. But we saw him last year with TK Keys and Faison Brandon. We saw him the year before, one-on-one, mano-a-mano with David Sanders Jr. Again, their number one target on the board. What they're willing to do for that number one target, Ohio State went up against head-on, and they saw it all. And that includes what people will call the unsavory things that professional operations don't do, right? Professional operations like Ohio State don't get involved in nonsense, like families coming up and requesting housing in lodges in the stadium and transportation to and from the games. Professional outfits have systems in place. Listen, this is how we do this. If you want housing, if you want travel, that's what the money's for. Okay, we don't handle that for you. We put the player in the NFL after he grows and develops. That's what we do here. Now, to be clear, I don't see any issues with Tennessee doing this, doing whatever it takes to win at all. There are no rules. Nobody cares. At the end of the day, if David Gabriel George is rushing for 1,500 yards, there's not a soul on earth who's going to say, but they're flying his parents to and from games from Montreal to see him play. Nobody cares. This is a zero-sum game. You win or you don't. And Ohio State knew exactly who they were going against before they threw down the gauntlet and said, we're going all in for this kid. They knew exactly what they were getting into. And this, the way Ohio State came in to this entire thing, knowing what they were getting into, but still going after it like this, made me feel faith in the fact that when it meant business, they would be pushing all their chips in. Because they saw it firsthand just 2 years ago. They knew what it was going to take to win. They knew who they were getting involved with, and they knew it was going to be messy. And I just didn't think, that they would have put themselves in the position to do that and turn their back on other prospects unless they were willing to get in the muck with them. Kind of what I felt like. Now, I also felt, in addition to that, Ohio State would likely win the relationship battle because they usually do. They usually win the relationship battle, the excitement battle, the professionalism battle. And if it were a classic recruitment, Ohio State usually wins that battle. And I was banking on that, right? And then when it came to the money, I was thinking Ohio State would get within 80% of the package. And the package here includes more than money. Now, asking someone to take a 20% discount if you're Ohio State, when you have a lot more to offer, and seemingly, we would hope, the better relationship, that seems reasonable to me. That seems reasonable. So I put all my faith into the fact that they were going to get it done, and they weren't going to come into this with 60% of the offer and saying, take the Ohio State discount. Because, you know, we can offer you this and that. Tony and I, my partner, Tony Gerdeman on Buckeye Insiders, talked about this many times throughout this recruitment that, you know, we both thought if you're going to get involved with this, you know, you need to be willing to go the extra mile, and they're just too smart not to do it. Or why even get involved, right? Why get involved? Risk getting egg on your face. Risk the precedent that it sets that, man, if you want to go against Ohio State for their best prospect, just go and pay a bunch of money and you're going to win. Because the truth is, there's way more desperate programs than there are Ohio States. And now they've all got money. So at some point, you need to kind of put your foot down for a battle like this and say, no, you're just not going to win. That's it. And we both felt like Ohio State was definitely going to get, with, you know, roughly 80% of the offer here. You're not going to let him walk over a couple hundred thousand bucks, right? So now, as I sit here on Monday evening, July 20th, the decision coming down on Wednesday, I believe Ohio State is at about 60 to 65% of the total compensation package over the terms of the contract. And that shakes out to roughly $2 million plus dollars over the course of the three-year deal. Certainly didn't believe it was going to be that big of an offer. When we talk about running back, though, you know, if you're in Ohio State's position, there's a lot of positions you can sell and say, look, we're going to develop this and we're going to make you this much more money in the NFL. When it comes to running back, it's really like one of the least developed positions. It doesn't take, a ton of developing. Similar to how we see running backs come in and be successful as freshmen out of high school, it's a position that is very much just natural. You got it or you don't. And sure, you can coach the nuances, but development here in this case, like I said, kid's an animal. 220 benching 400, squatting 600, running a 4.38. All that box is checked. He doesn't need the Mickey Mariotti school of hard knocks and bodybuilding. It's there already. And as far as running back coaching, who's to say our running back coach is better than their running back coach? So you can't really sell them on the fact that you're going to make so much more money coming to Ohio State throughout the course of your career because your development will be so much better. Not really at running back. You know, we don't corner the market on developing every position better than everybody else. But what obviously everything else is valid, right? Potentially winning the Heisman, and it ain't happening at Tennessee. playing for national championship, the playoffs every year, like all that. Ohio State is, it gives you the opportunity to win a recruitment for less money. But the uncle's point is fair as well. The allure to some people of waking up this sleeping giant, and we know how asinine and ridiculous this fan base is. It's a great, passionate fan base. I take shots at them because they're annoying and they're obnoxious. But when I look at all the trash football they've been through over the last 25 years, that they are still so engaged, so passionate, and so there for their team, I respect the hell out of. So if he can come in and be that dude for them, yes, he's right. He will be revered. And there is some appeal there for sure. There's also a ton of appeal at Ohio State. But is the ton of appeal at Ohio State worth taking 40% less money? We all know football is, we look at it for fun. It's enjoyment for us. We love the sport of college football. If we were earning our living in college football, whether that be coaching or playing, most of us would not think too long and hard about an offer. One of them is here and the other one is 40% less. It wouldn't be a real long, drawn-out decision process for us. It just wouldn't. That's how we operate in our daily lives. And we all know that to be true. Let's keep in mind, this is a temporary thing for him. This is a 3-year proposition. So while we may value championships and playoffs, a lot of people just value money. And I did not think this is the way this was going to go in the NIL era. I never thought that there would be enough people out there that would be able to go to a Texas Tech and make them a contender. And they did it in a flipping year, man. A year. Not only are there enough, there's an abundance. They were begging to get into Texas Tech and get one of those deals. They don't care. It's a temporary thing. It's not a career. They're not signing up to spend 30 years at Tennessee versus 30 at Ohio State. It's 3 years. 3 years, you're going to pay me $6+ million? This is a no-brainer, man. Unless Ohio State absolutely killed it in the relationship battle and made it impossible for him to say no because he felt so comfortable, valued, loved, respected, teammate, camaraderie at Ohio State that he couldn't turn down the opportunity to spend his college years there. They had to smoke it there. They had to absolutely crush it there. Did they? I think we're going to find out. Unfortunately, it doesn't sound so great. It doesn't sound so great. Now, again, talking about what the uncle had to say here, but he has said from the very beginning, and Wilt Fung reiterates it in his article, that Coach Lachlan has the best individual relationship with him. Which, again, if Ohio State loses here, is pointing the finger at Lachlan. Lachlan, single best relationship, but the relationship with all the coaches as a staff, Tennessee. The relationship with Josh Heupel over Ryan Day, Tennessee. And Wilt Fung reiterates in the article, Day turned it on late and was involved in all of the big conversations. And when I read that, man, which, you know, the uncle said this before, but that to me was just mind-blowing, really. When you are so all in on this guy, and Ryan Day is such a skilled recruiter, I just couldn't fathom that he took a hands-off approach here. I couldn't even fathom it. You should hear these kids, man. Ryan Day is an absolute, like, celebrity to the, like, they go nuts. The guys that get an opportunity to have the 30-minute session one-on-one in Ryan Day's office when they come in for a visit, it's the only thing they talk about, that they got to sit with Coach Ryan Day. It blows their mind. And he's such a great recruiter. You heard Chris Boyd, Brock Boyd's dad, on the show with me tell you that he wanted to kick Brock and Dana out of the office and sit there with Coach Day and just keep talking. That's how much he liked him. That's what everybody says about him. What in the hell? Why are we hearing that he wasn't involved till late, turned it on till late? I don't get it. I'll never understand that. Maybe he had some kind of strategy where he wanted to come in late and really turn it on. And maybe, I don't know, man, but it seems like if Ohio State misses out and doesn't, you know, didn't truly win out in the relationship battle, that was a miscalculation. But it wasn't the only one. It was not the only miscalculation here. Should Ohio State lose? Ohio State's looking at the number one running back last year in Savion Hyder. It's about an $800 to $1 million deal. This year, the number one running back in the country, Kamon Spell, out of McKeesport, Pennsylvania, ranked number one. He's not. DGG is, but he's really good. He's going to Georgia, and that's about an $800,000 deal. Now, I think that Ohio State thought long and hard about this, and they figured we're going to have to get David Gabriel George, get up over $1 million flipping dollars for this running back. So before we even think about shutting it down in 26 and going all in for him in the class of 2027, we need to commit that we're going to get up over $1 million for a running back. Keeping in mind that the previous dude they just signed, Bo Jackson, was $150,000. That's the commitment they had to make to themselves. And in the end, they decided, we're doing it. We're doing it. Now, it was a miscalculation in my mind, because I don't think they realized that Tennessee was going to get over $2 million. I don't think they realized that Tennessee was not bidding against Ohio State. Tennessee was bidding against Tennessee's future. And whatever Ohio State was going to offer him, it didn't matter at all to Tennessee, because they were going to do whatever it took money-wise. And coming in with that offer at $2 million, which it's pretty apparent that is the offer that was on the table from the official visit. So keep that in mind. They literally doubled the offer, just straight up doubled it. Didn't like try to say, oh, we'll give you $1.3 million. It was double. Oh, and you want a jet to fly mom and dad in? Cool. And whatever else is the perks and benefits. Ohio State made a miscalculation on that. And I can't fault them too much on that, right? Like, who's to say how desperate the next guy is? And I say desperate, but is it a bad thing to say? Does it come off bad? It comes off as snide, but it's true. I don't mean desperate in a way that they suck. I mean desperate to be back in the nationally relevant conversation. Yes, they're absolutely desperate for that. And again, I respect it. I respect that they don't want to be average, which is what they've been. I respect that they hate the fact that they went to the playoffs and then dropped back down, and they want it so bad that they're willing to go as hard as they can. Like, I respect insane desire from college football fan bases. But I don't know how you compete with that, which is why it's difficult to tell yourself, I'm going to get involved with a desperate party. I'm going to go head to head with a desperate party, because nothing changed from the David Sanders recruitment to the David Gabriel George recruitment. You knew what you were getting into the whole time, right? You always knew. And again, miscalculation. Miscalculation. So, should Ohio State lose? Do they come away with a little bit of egg on their face here? Yeah, for sure. Is it something that changes the way I feel about the 2027 class? No. They're still going to need a running back. And I expect that they're going to go do their damnedest to flip a dude. But even if they don't, we are still talking about a position where Ohio State just brought in Jacoby Jackson. Jacoby Jackson, a seventh-year player that nobody really will think twice about until you see him on the field. He's a dog. When you can get guys like that, and you can get the year prior when Ohio State picked the wrong guy in C.J. Donaldson, Ahmad Hardy and Kawan Lacy were both in that class. Neither of them went for $1 million. Neither of them went for $700,000. These guys were ranked like number 8 and number 16 in the transfer portal running back rankings. They're the two best backs in football right now. And those guys are available every year in the portal at running back, and they're plentiful. A couple of positions, you can absolutely plan on bringing in a portal guy every year, and he can walk in and seamlessly integrate and be a dude. Running back is one of those positions. They're always available. I think Jakobi Jackson is going to be really, really good. And I think this running back room is really, really good. So, should Ohio State lose tomorrow, we'll be live. It's totally fair to have a vent session for a day or 2 days. But at the end of those days, it's always important to add a little perspective. And the perspective is nobody in the country is standing on as stable footing in their current roster and in their roster 2 years from now as the Ohio State Buckeyes. And one player, one recruitment never makes or breaks that. It's about the guys you get, not about the guys you lose. That's an old saying that used to just irritate me, but it is true. And I am not going to, really be angry, even though I do agree with many that the staff will have some egg on their face about this one and that it was a screw up to a certain degree for sure. We're also talking about a staff who has done almost everything else right this cycle too. So we're all entitled to screw one up here and there. At least they took the swing. So those are all my thoughts as we head into decision day. And I guess that's about it. Love to hear your thoughts, but save them for tomorrow and join me live 5 p.m. We'll come on a half an hour before he comes on. We'll stream the decision. If you're a new Juck guy, thanks for joining us. Please, or if you're an old Juck guy, remember to subscribe to the show. Subscribing to the show just makes it easier for you to find it, helps us out on this side tremendously. And subscribe to all your favorite shows. You can check out any of our new gear in the Juck Eyes shop, in the description, in the link below. Also, the link below the description of this video, we have got the link to my promo code over at Buckeye Insiders. If you want to go over and join Buckeye Insiders, the new latest, greatest Ohio State beat site with myself, Tony Gerdeman, Tom Orr, Ross Fulton, Michael Pettit on the X's and O's, Marcus Hartman covering Buckeye Hoops. It's going to be an exciting season. Join us over there. And I appreciate you guys. And I will talk to you soon. Juck on Bucks out.